license, we have a daughter of Shiloh who will bring us the preach word. The Reverend Tamara Renee Davis is the interim pastor of the Shelton Baptist Church in Edison, New Jersey. She holds a master's degree in divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary and a master's degree in social work from Rutgers University. She's a tough sister. She is a member of the Phi Alpha Honor Society for Social Work, but she's also a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Hallelujah!
She works with Verizon Hope Line Scholar for work done with intimate violence in the church. She's a missions and service coordinator for the American Baptist Women's Ministries of New Jersey. Most importantly, she's a daughter, a servant, and a glad worshiper of the Most High God. Now, that's the most important statement. Although I love Zeta to the bottom of my heart, but the most important thing is that she's a child of the servant of the Most High God. She's a servant of the Most High God. Put your hands together and let's welcome to this podium my sister in Christ, my sister in the sorority, Reverend Tamara Renee Davis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Giving honor to God, who is first and foremost in my life, I bring you greetings from the Shelton Baptist Church in Edison, New Jersey. I must get this out of my system. It is good to be home. As I have sat back and listened to the choir, I was like, wow. That's what worship sounds like. I praise God for my assignment, but where I pastor, there is no choir. So it's my ritual before I go downstairs, I do my praise music because I have to get my praise on. Amen. Before I must be used as an instrument. So again, I say to you good morning to the shepherd of this house, my pastor, Reverend Darrell LaRue Armstrong, since he put my middle name in there. I am most grateful for this invitation. It is good to be amongst the saints of God, my brothers, my sisters, my colleagues in ministry. So to the ministerial staff, the deacon, the deaconess, just everyone who makes the kingdom work. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With all the preliminaries done, let's get to the matter at hand. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. That is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. Please say amen when you've located the text. As I read it, just so you know that there's nothing wrong with your Bibles, I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. But it's all good because it's all the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were to say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear were to say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?
Yes.
If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is God's divine word for the people of God. I ask you to pray with me this morning on the sermon title, One Body, One Body. Loving and merciful God, we thank you for all that has transpired in this sanctuary this morning. We thank you for the songs of Zion that have gone forth. We thank you for the fervent prayers of the righteous, Lord. I ask you, dear God, to come and take over this place, Lord. Decrease me and increase yourself in me, for it is not about me. As they see and hear me, Lord, don't let them see and hear me, but let them see you and hear you. Remove shackles from eyes, Lord, and anything that impedes hearing. Let us hear anew, see anew, leave this sanctuary anew, being one body, brought together in one spirit. And all that we say and we do, you get all praise, honor, and glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get started, I fail to acknowledge my family. I thank God for them to be here this morning with me as well. Recently, in fact, about 3 weeks ago, I was on vacation myself. And while I was vacationing in the Maryland area with a seminary girlfriend of mine, we went to this event, this Indonesian festival, and she was excited for me to hear this woman's band. Well, we missed the band because the timetable got mixed up. But what we did walk into is an opportunity to be part of a world record. The Ankhlong. Like many of you, I have never heard of this instrument. This Indonesian instrument that only plays one note. One note. So despite how clever you are, how talented you feel you are, you cannot play a song alone. It takes an entire group to play a whole song. Each person must know when to play their note and for how long. And when done properly, it produces the most beautiful harmony. There we were gathered on the south side of the Lincoln Memorial. And this gentleman, he was raised up on this platform and he was giving us these hand signs, giving us instructions so we knew when to play and how to play and for how long to play, all to assure that we made it into the record together. In reading today's scripture, the call to unity is obvious. The verse starts, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body as it is in Christ. For the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. We are all connected. The latter part again reads, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Beloved, we are purposed for community. Way back in Genesis, we hear God saying, man was not created to be alone. And while this address is regarded most time to deal with male-female relationships, this statement means more, much more. For in the beginning, humanity was to steward the earth, to till the land for food, to shepherd the flocks and the cattle. So there was a connection between humanity and the earth and humanity and the animals. Each had a purpose, a role of maintaining life, one body created under God. Therefore, the fall comes not merely to represent just the rupture between humanity and God or humanity against one another, but rather it signifies the breaking down of the entire system. A system that God would wipe away as he washed it out with a flood, but a system that would not be totally repaired until the coming of Jesus Christ. So this morning, while I will address unity, I start by asking all of you, what do you believe it means to be part of a body? Yes, certainly we are individuals equipped with free will. Many go about their way full of me-ism. The mentality, if it doesn't involve me and mine, then I have no need for it. However, you must understand we are all essential parts of a whole, making up a community of believers. The text makes it clear there are no insignificant parts. What does it mean to be part of a body, part of a greater unit, greater than oneself? What are we called to do when a member is ill, hurting, grieving, happy, rejoicing? We are a community, pieces called to come together for the functioning of the whole. Without one another, parts stand to break down with little hope of repair. Our members are placed in needless jeopardy. For instance, as Christ went to pray, his friends, you know, his comrades, his homeboys, if I must be real, you know, those who said that they would follow him to the death, they slept. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples were sleeping. Christ came back three times. Keep awake, he said. In that moment, he needed them to be his eyes as he opened his heart to God. He needed them to stand watch, have his back, because he desired to focus 100% on God. And if I could be just transparent for just a moment, as a pastor, I must say, often I am asked to hear the heartbeats of individuals, called to provide a shoulder to lean on or arms of comfort. I am asked to answer the why questions. So, in many ways, I am called to be the mouthpiece of the Lord. And the same is so as I come before the congregation to deliver a sermon on a Sunday. These indeed are the facts of this branch of ministry. Yet, I have found on many occasions no one to hear my heartbeat, to hold or console me in times of trouble, no one to lend an ear. And while I know God is there, we also need a person, people, a community that will help hold us up in times of need, work with us toward achieving a goal, to celebrate with us when we get over, and to collectively march into the promised land. In other words, part of the responsibility as members of the body is that we stand watch for one another. Beloved, Christ asked us to stay awake. Be alert. Stand watch for one another. This sermon certainly is not merely about how we deal with each other in times of trouble. Rather, it calls to our attention how we deal with each other as a whole body, one spirit, under God. It calls for unity in the community, instructing us how we are to manage and maneuver in God's kingdom. The members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, meaning everyone has worth in the eyes of God. Acts 10:34 tells us, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Our text continues. Those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our most respectable members do not need this. Why? Why would God treat the less as more? Because God knows the selfish ways of humanity, who often value greatness based on how one looks, dresses, speaks, what one drives, where one lives, the type of education one has, all superficial things. But instead, God is looking at the heart. God is looking at the least of these with eyes of grace, giving them purpose, and more importantly, inviting them to partake in his promises. God is saying we must attend to people where they are. Like the man Peter and John encounter in Acts 3, people don't need a handout as much as they need a hand up. We are one body. As Christians, we need to see, pray, speak life into one another. Peter told the layman, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee." Well, what did they have? Brothers and sisters, what do we have? We are equipped with the word of God and a commission to go out into the world, creating new disciples. This is what the body is called to do. We are baptized to give God away. Give love away. Silver and gold have I none, but that I have, I give to thee. In other words, I introduce you to a God that shall supply all your needs. But however, instead of walking in our commission, too often we are walking in ourselves. A feeling of self-importance has us looking down at people instead of extending the invitation for them to look up to the God who makes them white as snow, a God that makes all things possible, a God that tells us anyone who be in Christ is a new creation. God says those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. If you don't believe me, I invite you to review the Beatitudes. The hungry, the poor, widow, orphan, the grieving, drug addicted, HIV and AIDS stricken, all of society's throwaways and outcasts are part of the body. We are a society so preoccupied with busyness, we fail to stop to recognize we are part of a body, part of a community. We forget to check in with one another, often not seeing past our immediate need. We render people invisible, standing in conversations unable to recognize the clues of another's brokenness. Selfish and self-absorbed daily cries are silenced because we work as dysfunctional parts of a body, parts detached from the whole. Oh yes, if the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Beloved, each of us has a function, a purpose, an assignment prescribed, designed, and assigned by God. So we can choose to continue functioning in dysfunction as if we were amputated from the body. But here is something very important that you should know. When a limb is amputated, it still feels the sensation of the missing limb. In fact, this is called the phantom limb. In other words, it continues to long for that missing piece. And here again, we revisit our text. Verse 25, God so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. And in my analogy of the amputee, it is said that these sensations from the phantom limb are painful. So this pain can be felt in the entire body. There are other sensations as well, like warmth and cold and itching and squeezing and tightness and tingling. And while these attacks over time lessen in frequency and intensity, because a part is missing, the body still yearns for wholeness. What I am saying to you this morning is God is yearning for us to unite, yearning for us to be one body and one spirit. As Christians, God is calling for us to really get to a place where we can hold one another's pain. For us, for it is in working together, in the network, in the conversation, in the visit, in the fellowship that one that is in pain comes to know that they are not alone, and that the pain will pass, the tide, the rough tide subsides. Now, we are not just called to gather in the bad times, for the text tells us, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It is not about competition, nor is it a comparison of greater than or less than. It is about presenting yourself honorable and presentable unto God, which is our spiritual worship. And by the renewing of our minds, we come to function not in the conformity of this world, but in the transformation that we first receive through our water baptism. Then as parts of a community of believers, we become to be baptized in the Spirit, therefore giving credence and power to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We become a reconciled creation of God to each other, to the earth, and to animals. One body, one spirit. Under God. See, in Washington, D.C., the reward for our unity in playing the Ankh Long was flashed on big Jumbotron screens. Guinness Book of World Record. And as a crowd, collectively, we cheered, each of us receiving a certificate to commemorate the day. And oh, I guarantee you, it indeed was a beautiful day. Indeed, as 5,185 of us of various nationalities and tongues, standing united, played the Ankh Long, an instrument where a song could only be played in a group. The song chosen, We Are the World. But my brothers and sisters, as great as that day was, a greater day awaits. The day when all is tallied, we will come to know who is in the real world record. If our name appears on the register, we will either hear, I never knew you, or well done, my good and faithful servant, as cherubim and seraphim in the background cry, holy, holy, holy. For God's record is the one that matters most. In one spirit, we were all baptized in one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves are free, and we were made to drink of one spirit. By your love for one another, they shall know you are my disciples. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.